Chapter 2. Alistair Davenwell was Castile's parent's advisor, and when King Malek had ascended his mistress Ispeth, it was Alistair who had alerted Queen Ilowana, breaking the bond between him and the now exiled, most likely dead, king. Only the gods knew how many Atlanteans Alistair had saved throughout the years by helping them escape Solus and the Ascended, who used their blood to make more vampires. Who knew how different things would have turned out for my family if they had found Alistair? They could still be alive, living a happy and whole life in Atlantia. And my brother Ian would be there, too. Instead, he was in Carcedonia and was likely now one of them. An ascended. I swallowed hard, shoving those thoughts aside. Now was not the time for that. I liked Alistair. He had been kind to me from the beginning. But more importantly, I knew that Castile respected and cared for the Wolven. If Alistair had played a role in this, it would cut Castile deeply. Honestly, I hoped that neither Alistair nor Beckett had anything to do with this. But I had long stopped believing in coincidences. And the night the Ascended had arrived at Spess's End, I had realized something about Alistair that hadn't sat well with me. It had fallen to the wayside when the Ascended arrived and with everything that had happened afterward. But it took center stage once more. Castile had once planned to marry Shay, Alistair's daughter. But then Castile had been captured by the Ascended, and Shay had betrayed him and his brother in an attempt to save her life. Everyone, including Alistair, believed that Shay had died heroically. But I knew the true tragedy of how she'd perished. However, Alistair also had a great niece, a Wolven that both he and King Valen hoped Castile would marry upon his return to the kingdom. It was something he'd announced at dinner, claiming he believed that Castile had already told me. I wasn't so sure he truly believed that, but that was neither here nor there. I couldn't be the only person who found the whole thing weird. Alistair's daughter? And now his great niece? I doubted there weren't plenty of other Wolven or Atlanteans that would have also been well suited to marry Castile, especially since Castile had given no indication that he'd be interested in such a union. None of that made Alistair guilty. But it was strange. Now the Wolven looked absolutely thunderstruck as he stared back at Castile.
I don't know what you think Beckett did, or how it has anything to do with me, but my nephew would never be involved in something like this. He's a pup, and I would shut the hell up,
Castile growled as I peeked around his shoulder. The Wolven blanched.
Castile, do not make me repeat myself,
he interrupted, turning to the guards.
Seize Alistair. What?
Alistair exploded as half the guards turned to him, while the others nervously glanced between Castile and the only king and queen they knew. The king's eyes narrowed on his son.
Alistair has committed no crime that we know of. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he is completely innocent, as is his great-nephew. But until we know for sure, I want him held,
Castile stated.
Seize him. Or I will.
Jasper prowled forward, growling low in his throat as his muscles strained under his mortal skin. The guards shifted nervously.
Wait,
Alistair shouted, his cheeks mottling as anger pulsed around him.
He does not have the kind of authority required to make demands of the guards of the crown.
I imagined the crown guard was a lot like the royal guard that served the Ascended. They only took orders from Queen Ilyana and King Jalara, and whatever royal ascended were ceded to lord over a city or town.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but stranger things have happened,
Castile said, and my brows puckered.
My mother removed the crown and told everyone here to bow before the new queen, who happens to be my wife. Therefore, according to Atlantean tradition, that makes me the king, no matter what head the crown rests upon. My heart tumbled. King? Queen? That couldn't be us. You never wanted the throne or the trappings that came along with that crown, Alistair spat. You spent decades seeking to free your brother so he could take the throne, and yet now you seek to claim it? You've truly given up on your brother, then? I sucked in a sharp breath as anger flooded me. Alistair, of all people, knew how much finding and freeing Malik meant to Castile. And his words had cut deep. I felt from Castile then what I'd sensed the very first time I ever laid eyes on him, a rawness that felt like shards of ice against my skin. Castile was always in pain, and even though it had lessened a little with each passing day, the agony he felt over his brother was never far from the surface. He'd just recently allowed himself to feel something other than the guilt, the shame, and the anguish. I didn't even realize I had moved forward until I saw that I was no longer under the shade of the blood tree. Castile hasn't given up on Malik, I snapped before I could find my damn dagger and throw it across the temple. We will find him and free him. Malik has nothing to do with any of this. Oh, gods! Iloana pressed her hand to her mouth as she turned to her son. Pain tightened her features, and in an instant, soul-deep sorrow rolled off her in potent waves. I couldn't see it, but her grief was a constant shadow that followed her, just as it did for Castile. It hammered at my senses, scraping my skin like frozen, broken glass. Hawk, what have you done? My focus darted to Valen as I shut down the connection with Castile's mother before it overwhelmed me. A jagged pulse of grief surrounded him, pierced by a surge of peppery, desperate anger. But he locked it down with a strength that I couldn't help but admire and envy. He bent and whispered in his wife's ears. Closing her eyes, she nodded at whatever he said. Oh, gods, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I clasped my hands together tightly. I didn't... You have nothing to apologize for, Castile said, looking over his shoulder at me and finding my gaze with his. What radiated from him was warm and sweet, overshadowing the icy ache a bit. It is I who should apologize, Alistair stated gruffly, surprising me. I shouldn't have brought Malik into this. You were right. Castile eyed him, and I knew he didn't know what to do with Alistair's apology. Neither did I. Instead, he focused on his parents. I know what you're likely thinking. It's the same thing Alistair believed. You think my marriage to Penelope is yet another fruitless ploy to free Malik. Is it not? His mother whispered, tears filling her eyes. We know you took her to use her.
I did, Castile confirmed. But that is not why we married. That is not why we're together.
Hearing all of this used to bother me. The truth of how Castile and I had gotten to this place was an uncomfortable one, but it no longer made me feel as if my skin no longer fit. I looked down at the band around my pointer finger and the vibrant golden swirl across my left palm. The corners of my lips turned up. Castile had come for me with plans to use me, but that had changed long before either of us realized it. The how no longer mattered.
I want to believe that, his mother whispered.
Her concern was oppressive, like a coarse, too thick blanket. Maybe she wanted to believe it, but it was clear that she didn't.
That is something else we need to discuss,
Valen cleared his throat, and it was clear that he too doubted his son's motivations.
As of right now, you are not the king, nor is she the queen. Ilioana had a very impassioned moment when she took off her crown, he said, squeezing his wife's shoulders.
The way her entire face pinched in response to her husband's comment was something I felt deep in my soul.
A coronation would have to take place, and the crowning would have to go uncontested. Contest her claim.
Jasper laughed as he folded his arms over his chest.
Even if she wasn't married to an heir, her claim cannot be contested. You know that. We all know that.
My stomach felt as if I were back on the edge of the cliff in the Skotos Mountains. I didn't want the throne. Neither did Castile.
Be that as it may,
Valen drawled, his eyes narrowing.
Until we discover who was involved in this and have had time to speak, Alistair should be kept somewhere safe.
Alistair turned to him.
That's something you will accept graciously.
Valen silenced the wolven with one look, and it was quite clear exactly where Castile had gotten that ability from.
This is as much for your benefit as it is for everyone else. Fight this, and I'm sure Jasper, Kieran, or my son will be at your throat in a heartbeat. And at this moment, I cannot promise that I would move to stay any of them.
Castile's chin lowered, and his smile was as cold as the first breath of winter. The tips of his fangs appeared.
It'll be me.
Alistair glanced between Jasper and his prince. Lowering his hands to his sides, his chest rose with a heavy breath, his wintry blue eyes fixed on Castile.
You are like a son to me. You would have been my son if fate hadn't had something else in store for all of us, he said,
and I knew he was thinking of his daughter. The sincerity in his words, the rawness of the pain he felt, sliced into him, cutting deeply, and fell like icy rain, only increasing when Castile said nothing. How he'd kept that level of pain hidden from me was stunning.
The truth of what is happening here will be revealed. Everyone will know I'm not the threat.
I felt it then. As I stared at Alistair, a surge of determination and steely resolve pumping hotly through his veins. It was quick, but instinct flared inside me, screaming out a warning I didn't fully understand. I stepped forward.
Castile!
I wasn't quick enough.
Protect your king and queen,
Alistair commanded. Several of the guards moved, surrounding Castile's parents. One of them reached behind his back. Valen spun around.
Don't!
Jasper shot forward, shifting in mid-leap as Ilioana screamed out a hoarse cry, No! An arrow struck the wolven in the shoulder, stopping him in mid-air. He went down, slipping back into his mortal form before he slammed into the cracked marble. I stumbled back. Shocked, as Jasper went still, a pale gray color sweeping across his skin. Was he? My heart froze at the sound of high-pitched yelps and snarls coming from below the temple. The other wolven. An arrow zinged through the air, striking Kieran as he leapt toward me. A scream caught in my throat as I lurched toward him. He caught himself before he fell, his back jerking straight and then bowing. The tendons in his neck stood out starkly as my eyes locked with his. The irises were a luminous blue-silver as he reached for the arrow protruding from his shoulder, a thin shaft leaking a grayish liquid.
Run!
He snarled, taking a stiff, unnatural step toward me.
Run!
I ran toward him, grabbing his arm as one of his legs buckled. His skin, gods, his skin was like a chunk of ice. I tried to hold him, but his weight was too much, and he hit the ground on his back as Castile reached my side. folding an arm around my waist. Horrified, I watched the gray pallor sweep over Kieran's tawny skin, and I felt nothing. Not from him, not from Jasper. They couldn't be. This couldn't be happening. Kieran? Castile suddenly spun me behind him, a roar of fury exploding from him, tasting of icy hot rage. Something hit him, knocking him away from me. His mother screamed and my head jerked up in time to see Queen Iloana shoving her elbow into a guard's face. Bone cracked and gave way as she rushed forward, but another guard grabbed her from behind. Stop! Stop this now! Iloana ordered. I command you! Terror sank its claws into me as I saw the arrow jutting out of Castile's lower back, also leaking that strange gray substance. But he still stood in front of me, sword in one hand. The sound that rumbled out of him promised death. He stepped forward. Another arrow came from the temple's entrance, striking Castile in the shoulder as I saw Valen shove a sword deep into the stomach of a man holding a bow. The projectile pierced Castile's leg, throwing him back. I caught him around the waist as his balance faltered. But like Kieran, his weight was too much. The sword clattered off the marble as he went down hard, the long length of his body straining as he kicked his head back. The tendons in his neck bulged as I dropped beside him, not even feeling the impact on my knees. Gray liquid poured from the wounds, mingling with blood as his lips peeled back from his fangs. Veins swelled and darkened under his skin. No, no, no. I couldn't breathe as his wild, dilated eyes met mine. This isn't happening. Those words repeated themselves over and over in my mind as I bent over, clutching his cheeks with shaking hands. I cried out at the feeling of his too cold skin. Nothing alive felt this cold. Oh, gods, his skin didn't even feel like flesh anymore.
Poppy,
he gasped out as he reached for me. A gray film crept across the whites of his eyes, and then the irises, dulling the vivid amber. He went still, his gaze fixed on some point beyond me. His chest didn't move. Castile, I whispered, trying to shake him, but his skin, his entire body had... It had hardened like stone. He was frozen. His back arched and one leg curled, an arm lifted toward me. Castile. There was no answer. I opened my senses wide to him, desperately seeking any hint of emotion, anything. But there was nothing. It was like he had entered the deepest level of sleep, or was... No, no, no. He couldn't be gone. He couldn't be dead. Only a handful of seconds had passed from the time Alistair had issued his initial command to Castile lying before me, his body drained of the vibrancy of life. I quickly looked over my shoulder. Neither Jasper nor Kieran moved, and their skin had deepened to a dark gray color, the hue of iron. Panic-fueled agony flooded me, entrenching itself in the area around my pounding heart as I slid my hands to Castile's chest, feeling for a heartbeat. Please, please, I whispered, tears gathering in my eyes. Please don't do this to me. Please. Nothing. I felt nothing in him, Kieran, or Jasper. A hum whirred within the very core of my being as I stared down at Castile. And my husband, my heartmate, my everything. He was lost to me. My skin began to vibrate as a dark and oily, soul-deep rage rose within me. It had a tang like metal in the back of my throat and burned like fire in my veins. It tasted like death, and not the kind that occurred here. The final kind. Fury swelled and expanded until I could no longer contain it. I didn't even try to stop it as tears tracked down my cheeks and fell on Castile's iron-colored skin. The rage lashed out, pounding the air and seeping into the stone. Under me, I felt the temple begin to faintly tremble once more. Someone shouted, but I was past hearing words. Leaning over Castile, I picked up his fallen sword as I brushed my lips over his still, stone-cold lips. That ancient thing inside me pulsed and throbbed as it had done before as I rose above my husband and turned. A sharp wind whipped across the temple floor, extinguishing the fire of the torches. The leaves of the blood tree rattled like dry bones as my grip on the short sword tightened. I didn't see Castile's parents. I didn't even see Alistair. Dozens stood before me, all garbed in white, holding swords and daggers. Familiar metal masks, those worn by the dissenters, hid their faces. Seeing them now should have terrified me. It only enraged me. The primal power surged, invading all of my senses. It silenced every emotion inside me until only one remained. Vengeance. There was nothing else, no empathy, no compassion. I was me. And yet I was something else entirely. The sky above was free of clouds, remaining a stunning shade of blue. Blood didn't rain, but my flesh sparked. Silvery white embers danced over my skin and crackled as wispy cords stretched out from me, swathing the columns like glistening spiderwebs and flowing across the floor in a network of shimmering veins. My rage had become a tangible entity, a living, breathing force that could not be escaped. I stepped forward, and the top layer of stone shattered under my boot. Tiny pieces of stone and dust broke away, drifting down. Several of the masked attackers moved back as thin fissures appeared in the statues of the gods. The cracks along the floor grew. A masked attacker broke from the line, rushing me. Sunlight reflected off the blade of his sword as he lifted it into the air. I didn't move as the wind picked up the tangled strands of my hair. He yelled as he brought the hilt of the weapon's handle down on me. I caught his arm, halting the blow as I shoved Castile's blade deep into his chest. Red poured across the front of his tunic as he shuddered, falling to the side. Four more charged me, and I spun under the arm of one as I thrust up the blade, slicing open another's throat. Blood sprayed as I whipped around, swinging the sword through the metal mask. A sharp, stinging pain raced across my back as I planted my foot in the center of the man's chest and pushed off as I yanked the blade free of his skull. A hand grabbed me, and I twisted, slamming the blade deep into the attacker's belly. I jerked the hilt of the sword sharply as I dragged it through the man's stomach, voicing the rage inside me with a scream. That rage pulsed into the air around me, and a statue near the back of the temple broke in two. Chunks of stone crashed to the floor. Another ripple of pain flowed over my leg. I turned, sweeping the sword in a high arc. The blade met little resistance. A dagger fell into my hand as a head and mask rolled in opposite directions. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw one of the dissenters grab Kieran's stiff body by the arms. Flipping the dagger in my hand, I cocked back my arm and threw it. The blade struck under the mask, and the attacker pinwheeled backward, clutching at his throat. Movement caught my attention. A wave of masked assailants raced across the temple. Silvery white light edged into my vision as I heard a voice, a woman's voice, whispering inside me. It wasn't supposed to be this way. In a flash, I saw her, hair like moonlight as she thrust her hands deep into the ground. Some inherent knowledge told me that she was where this temple now stood, but in a different time, back when the world was an unknown place. She threw back her head, screaming with a kind of pained fury that throbbed relentlessly inside me. Silvery white light drenched the soil, radiating out from where she touched. The ground cracked open, and thin, bleached white fingers dug out from the dirt all around her. Nothing more than bones. Her words reached me once more. "I am done with this. All of this." As was I. I shuddered, the image of the woman fading as I tossed the sword aside. In the emptiness of my mind, I pictured the glittering cords peeling off the columns. They did so before me, draping over a dozen of the attackers like fine webbing. I wanted them to feel as I did inside. Broken. Twisted. Lost. Bone cracked. Arms and legs snapped. Backs broke. They fell like shattered saplings. Others turned away from me to run, flee. I would not allow that. They would pay. All of them would taste and drown in my wrath. I would bring this structure down and then rip the entire kingdom apart to ensure it. They would feel what was inside me, what they wrought, threefold. Rage poured from me in another scream as I stalked forward, lifting my arms. The cords rose from the floor. In my mind, they grew and multiplied, stretching out beyond the chambers of Nyctos to the trees and the city below. I started to rise. In the chaos, I saw him. Alistair stood near the front of the temple, just out of reach of the pulsating rage and energy. I didn't sense fear from him. Just acceptance, as he stared at me as if he'd expected this. Alistair met my gaze.
"I'm not the threat to Atlantia," he said. "You are. You always have been the threat."
Pain exploded along the back of my head, so sudden and so overwhelming that nothing could stop the darkness from rushing me. I fell into nothing.